here's a story from The World.
The leaders of NATO made it clear after their summit this week, China presents a challenge to the rules-based international order. To unpack exactly what that means, we reached out to Taylor Fravel. He's the director of the Security Studies Program at MIT, where he focuses his research on China and East Asia. Taylor, from NATO's perspective, what are the major threats that China presents to, as NATO says, the rules-based international order?
So this is a remarkable statement by NATO. It's only the second time that China as a country has been named in a NATO document. The first time was about 18 months ago. But this time it was sort of much more detailed and much more extensive. And so NATO identified a range of concerns with China, and I can just kind of run through them here for you.
Yeah, what are kind of the top three?
So the top three would be military modernization that's been ongoing in China, which is sort of viewed as lacking in transparency. And a key component here that NATO identified was the modernization of China's nuclear arsenal and the growth in its nuclear forces. They also highlighted China's stated ambitions and assertive behavior, to quote the document itself, sort of what China's been doing in the world recently. And then finally, focusing on this idea that NATO sees China, quote, as coming closer to us, right, in the cyber domain, in terms of investing in critical infrastructure in Europe, its presence in Africa, its presence in the Arctic, and of course, its growing relationship with Russia. And so there's this sense that as China's become wealthier and militarily more powerful, and as it's advancing new technologies, it's spreading its reach around the world. And now finally, it's coming to NATO's doorstep. And this is something that NATO must address.
So, Taylor, you also mentioned that the NATO statement points to China's expanding nuclear arsenal as a threat. What ability or leverage does NATO have to limit China's nuclear development unless it's another arms reduction treaty?
NATO doesn't have a direct ability to do so, although it has highlighted arms control as a possible area of cooperation with China. And so I think one reason why they drew attention to the growth of its nuclear arsenal was perhaps a desire to bring China into some kind of arms control talks or negotiations. I think the more general point NATO was trying to make here is, right, that China is becoming kind of a new power on the world stage, and one component of that is its growing nuclear arsenal. Now, to be clear, right, the size of China's arsenal, even after it doubles as the Defense Intelligence Agency estimated last summer, will probably be in the low 400s in terms of warheads. So it's still much smaller than the Russian or the U.S. arsenals. But I think from NATO's standpoint, nevertheless, the growth in the nuclear arsenal still is an important area of concern, in part because perhaps, right, there could be an arms race in the future between China and the United States that would create a much more complicated international security environment. And I'm guessing NATO would like to avoid that outcome if it can.
Taylor, would you say there's a consensus opinion among NATO allies on China, or do some countries in the alliance think that the U.S. and others are being too tough or too concerned about China?
So there's some interesting discussion in the press conference after the NATO statement was released, basically saying to the effect that what was in the joint statement was basically a consensus view, which is also another way of describing a compromise view. And so there are some members of the alliance who probably wanted to push for a stronger action against China, and there were others who probably would not support those moves.
How does China's government see what's going on? Like, how have Chinese officials responded to these statements coming out of the NATO summit?
The Chinese Foreign Ministry this morning mentioned it in their press conference. I think they tried to highlight NATO as the challenge to international security and stability and not China. I'm not sure it's a persuasive argument, but they pointed out that NATO has called upon member states to spend at least 2% of GDP on defense, and China nominally spends less than that. They also even brought up NATO's past and pointed out the fact that NATO itself has, quote, brought wars and instability to the world for many times, and highlighted in particular the air war in Kosovo, which you may recall occurred without approval of the United Nations. And so this is kind of a classic whataboutism move by the foreign ministry to try to deflect attention from the criticism and paint the other side as the source of trouble or instability. But beyond that, there hasn't been a more systematic response.
So, Taylor, we just saw today Taiwan reporting incursion by dozens of Chinese warplanes into its airspace. Do you think NATO could find itself pushing back on tension that is not in its jurisdiction, per se? Like, how far is NATO willing to go to face down China?
My interpretation of the most recent statement is it was somewhat defensively oriented in the sense of really ensuring that Europe would be secure rather than becoming involved sort of directly in Asia, and in particular in the conflicts in Asia. Now, that said, there are certain global interests that NATO has a stake in sort of supporting, such as freedom of navigation. And one has already seen a greater presence of European navies in the waters of the South China Sea, not on the behalf of NATO or under the banner of NATO, but certainly as European states who are also members of NATO. So I suspect that NATO is basically expressing concerns about the challenges that China will pose, especially as it comes much closer to Europe, versus the sense that NATO is somehow going to expand and bring Asia under its orbit. I don't think there would be any consensus among most NATO members to do that. And it would also not comport with the way in which Russia is clearly identified as the main threat facing NATO. And then number two in this joint statement was terrorism. And then China, right, as I mentioned, was characterized as a challenge versus a direct threat. So I think it's unlikely that we'll see NATO playing a significant role in Asia. But of course, NATO may provide support to the United States indirectly in different ways to the degree the U.S. becomes more involved in some of these issues.
Taylor Fravel is the Arthur and Ruth Sloan Professor of Political Science at MIT, speaking with us about the announcement from NATO leaders about concerns with China. Taylor, thank you.
Thank you.